after the flood. Life after the flood. And turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9 and Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Brother Mike, you blessed us this morning. Thank you, my brother. I just have a question. How long were you going to go before you let me know you could sing, my brother? How long you been at this church? At least 3 or 4 years. Amen. Amen. Who else has got hidden talents out there? I need to know. I need to know. The Lord wants to use them. Amen. And we thank the Lord for folks using their talent. Brother Ray and Brother Philip and others. And before I preach, I'm going to ask our youth pastor to come and pray over us as I get ready to preach. And he's behind the scenes, but I want him to be in front of the scenes this morning. And but we're going to read Genesis chapter 9, verse 28. You can come on up, brother. Genesis 9 and verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Turn around and tell somebody there's life after the flood. Now go to Isaiah 43 and verse 2. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When, not if, and I preach a sermon called Not If, But When. One of my favorite, if I write a book, title of the book, it's going to be Not If, But When. Isaiah 43 and 2. When thou passest through the waters, not if, but when, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Life after the flood. Pastor Nate, come, take the mic and just ask the Lord to bless the preaching and the reading of the word. How are you doing, by the way? Are you working at Chick-fil-A right on? Now last week, a couple weeks ago, somebody tested positive for COVID. And I'm touching you by faith this morning that you're okay, COVID-free, right? Amen. We love you, you and your precious bride there, and I would like for you to pray over this morning.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to gather in your house here in these times, Lord God. And we know that you're allowing us to be here in your presence, Lord, and just to receive your blessings this morning as we read your word and we are able to interpret it in the way that you have us intended, Lord God. We pray that you anoint this presence and this stage for the pastor, Lord God, and we anoint the ears of the listeners, Lord, as this message can touch the hearts of many, and your word will continue to live on long after us, and we pray that it lives within us until the day that we die. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Thank you. Westmoreland Church, we have an order of service. We have a schedule. But I tell you what, we let the Lord take over if he wants to. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brethren, for those songs. Exactly. You know, we plan, but God knows what needs to be done. Amen. Amen. Now, we're talking about Noah. And, you know, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from Noah, especially in times like this. You know, in a world gone wild, and this world has gone wild, debauchery abounding, gross darkness, immorality, and vice. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I could talk to you about how in a world going crazy, we can still find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I could talk about the fact that he was severely mocked and ridiculed and laughed at for preaching about the coming flood and building that old ark. But despite it all, he kept preaching. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to get easier for churches. It's not going to get easier for preachers. There is coming a time, I foresee it. I foresee it unless the Lord intervenes, that the mobs and the looters we see will be on our parking lot and be knocking on our doors, telling us not to preach the old-fashioned gospel. People don't like the old gospel. They don't like the blood of Jesus. They don't like the cross. It's an offense to them. They don't like preaching against sin. But the glorious truth of the matter is, when we preach against those things, it's in love to set the captive free and to save the lost, because God knows what he's doing and has the best plan for our lives. Amen. We could talk about the fact how he built a boat, and he was an amateur. He didn't go to school. He was not an engineer. He didn't graduate from an Ivy League. And he built a boat that survived the world's greatest flood. We could compare that with the Titanic. That was built by the greatest engineers. That was the state of the art greatest feat of invention known to man up until 1912, and how they said even God himself could not sink it. But on that maiden voyage, iceberg, and the ship built by the experts went down, but Noah's ship stayed afloat. Glory to God. You need to listen to the old time preachers. You need to, the modern technology is good and it's a blessing and I'm all for it. But I'll tell you, in Noah's time, we need to hear from the Lord. We need to build an ark. In fact, go to Hebrews 11 and 7, because the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the what? Saving of his house. I could talk to you about your family getting saved. I don't want to just have me saved. My wife needs to be in the ark. My family needs to be in the ark. My sister and her husband and my mother. I'm pointing because they're watching. They're at home this morning. My sister works in a place that's highly got some issues there. But I want you to know that we need our family in the ark. Praise God. Noah saw to it that his children, his wife was there, his sons were there, and Noah heard a lot of criticism. Noah heard a lot of ridicule, but one thing he never heard was, "Daddy, let me in." Praise God, they were all in the ark, and family, moms, is your children in? Daddy, is your family in? Praise God, he wants to save our entire families. I claim my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my friends. I want them in the ark. Somebody say glory to God. And I could talk to you about how it probably didn't smell very good on the ark. You know, all those animals there? It probably didn't smell good. Somebody said it stunk in the ark. But I'd rather be in a stinking ark than in a storming world. Amen. I'm telling you, people say, "Well, I'm not going to church. There's too many hypocrites." Well, I'd rather deal with the hypocrites in the church than the hypocrites on Capitol Hill. Come on. I'd rather you go to Food Lion with the hypocrites. You go to the racetrack with the hypocrites. You go to the convenience store with the hypocrites. Why not come to church with the hypocrites? And by the way, God loves hypocrites. He wants them to be saved. Hallelujah. You're the biggest hypocrite because you're self-righteous. Listen, I'd rather deal with church, and church can get stinky sometimes, and people can get, you know, if you ask people to change their seat, glory to God, it might stink a little bit for a while. Come on now. Help me preach this morning. You know, if you ruffle somebody's feathers, you know, my uncle paid for this. Oh, but my friend, I'd rather deal with the stink in the church than the storm in the world. A bad day in the church is better than the greatest day at the country club. I'm here to tell you, I'm glad to be on board the old ark, the old gospel ship. Anybody on board this morning? There used to be a sign in East Carolina that said, "A bad day at East Carolina is better than a great day at UNC Chapel Hill." Hallelujah. Let me move on before the anointing leaves me. But listen, here's what I want to talk to you. Go back to Genesis 9 and verse 28. A bad day in the church is better than the best day I had in that world. It said Noah lived after the flood. After all the ridiculing, after all the laboring of building the ark, 40 days and 40 nights of the perfect storm. You know that movie by George Clooney, The Perfect Storm. The fact that he let the raven out the window and it never returned. 4 months of being cooped up on that boat. The worst disaster that had ever hit his life and this world. Yet, the Bible says, after that flood, there was life. And I don't know what floods you've gone through this morning. I don't know what people have done to you this morning. I don't know what circumstances you are facing this morning. I don't know, Brother Mike, what the doctor or the test results has said. But I want you to know that no matter what flood you have gone through or flood you are going through, Hallelujah. There is life after the flood. You're going to live again. You're going to praise God again. You're going to run the aisles again. You're going to be happy again because and I mean happy in the sense of joy. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory. You might have gone through the floods of debt. You might have gone through the floods of divorce. You might have gone through the floods of disease. You might have gone through the floods of discouragement. You might have been fired from your job, molested as a child, raped. You might have been violated, abused, misunderstood, underappreciated. But my message this morning to you is this. There is life after the flood. Can you give him a hand of praise? There is life after the floods. When you pass through the floods, when you go through the fire, friend, I wish I could tell you the floods wouldn't come. I wish I could tell you there wouldn't be some fiery trials. The truth of the matter is you've either had a flood or going to have a flood. But the truth of the matter is there is life after the flood. I want to give you three things this morning. When you're going through the floodwaters, do not give in. Point one, do not give in to regret. Somebody say the word regret. Regret is like a mosquito on your porch or a gnat. When I'm walking down Lamb Road trying to exercise and get in shape, and I walk down Lamb Road, I turn around and I head back home on Lamb Road, and guess what I see over the tree lines? The sign to Cracker Barrel. I'm just walking, and right above the tree line is that sign of Cracker Barrel. And I said, oh, just as soon as I get done, I'm going to go have some biscuits. You know that don't work. But I'll tell you, when I'm walking in those gnats around Lamb Road, Brother Ray, I don't know you walk too down there, them things are aggressive. You out walk them? Well, I feel really good right now. I ain't got that fast yet, brother. But I'll swap that gnat. And you know I could kill that gnat. That gnat has to know I can kill it. And it comes right back in the middle, buddy. And you swap it this way, and he'll think, well, I'll get over here on the ear. Swap it from the ear. Regrets are a lot like those gnats. They're aggressive. In your face. You shouldn't have married that person. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have had that divorce. You shouldn't have had bankruptcy. You shouldn't have dated that person. Look at your life. You shouldn't have messed up. You shouldn't have quit that job. You should have stayed on and regret. And every morning, as I get older, and I know we have mostly older folks here, and when I say older, I mean 48 and over. I'll be 49 in about 3 weeks. Glory to God. If he tarries, then he lets me live. And I'll praise him for 49 years. But I'll tell you that as I get older, that voice says you shouldn't have done that. You made that wrong decision back then. You should have turned right. Instead, you turn left. And it replays in my mind. Am I the only one? Somebody else in here have regrets, but I'm here to tell you, do not give in to regrets. There is life after your regrets. There is life after your floods. If you made a mistake, if you messed up, forget it and move on. There's life after the flood. Come on and give him a hand of praise here this morning. Some people let the memories of the past, the good memories, outshine their dreams for the future. Some of you don't have regrets. You've got great things in the past that's happened. Oh, I was a success in ministry. I was a success in my job. I used to have this accolade, but now I'm nothing. But friend, don't let the good memories can rob you of even greater things to come. I said there's life after the flood. God is up to something. He's not finished. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking. That man had a lot of regrets. He killed Christians. He was like Osama bin Laden for the Jews. He had letters, legal documents that said if you were serving God, you're in jail or killed. One of these days, I think what God could do if one of these people out there that's really anti-Christian really got saved, like Ellen DeGeneres. Wouldn't it be something if she got saved? I mean, the Lord just really showed his love to her, and he does love her. And she realizes her need for the Lord, and she gives her life to the Lord. And wouldn't that be a great thing? Can God? Yeah. Well, man, I'm not going to comment on that. But I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul to the Christians was a lot like people we see. But he said, I forget those things that are behind, and I reach forth to the things. I want everybody just to reach forth. Come on. Come on. Everybody reach forth. Come on. Reach forth. And I want you to stand right now. I want you to stand. Everybody stand, because I want you to do a little exercise with me, okay? I want everybody to turn around and face the back, all right? Everybody turn around and face the back. Now I want you to wave. I want you to wave to the back, all right? Now turn around and look at me, all right? Now, before you're seated, let that be the last time that you look back. Don't look back. I said there's life after the flood. Give him a hand of praise before you're seated. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord and bless him. In Genesis chapter 41, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he has made me to forget. God has made me to forget. It sounds like to me Joseph had trouble forgetting. But God is wanting us to forget all your toil and all your father's house. And then verse 52, the name of his second son was called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Sound like for Joseph, there was life after the flood. The great War General Robert E. Lee, and they're tearing his statues down, and I'm not going to voice my opinion on that, and I have my opinions on that, and the Civil War, and Confederacy, and slavery, and these are hot-button issues right now, and what people don't realize is that when Robert Lee surrendered, there was a great movement in the defeated Confederate states to keep fighting, to keep an underground warfare. Guerrilla warfare. But Robert Lee, when he surrendered, he said, we're moving on. We will become one nation. So we need to honor that, because he could have, with his influence, continued the Civil War. In fact, he went to a lady's house, and the lady had a tree, a big tree in her front yard. She lived in a beautiful home, and the tree was messed up and it was mangled because of the Union artillery had come across and shelled it. And she said, General Lee, look at that tree. It used to be so beautiful. It used to, and those terrible Yankees, those the Union, they came and they messed up my tree. General Lee, what do you think about that? General Lee looked back at her and said, Madam, cut it down and forget it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not give in to regret. There is life after the flood. Can you say amen? Point number two. Number one, don't give in to regret. Point number two is don't break down and resign. Say the word resign. You see, when the flood waters are rising, so many times we quit just at the moment of our breakthrough. Darnell and I have seen that. We've pastored over 25 years, that people will come into church and God will do a glorious thing in their life. And just about the time they're ready to cross that threshold and go into greater things, poof, they quit, they give up, they give out. They resign, they give up. Can I tell you something, that responsibility in the church is a good thing? When you have a ministry to do, when you have something that you need to come to church and you need to cut on a light, or you need to do this, or you need to do that, and there's, we're living in a day when people are like, I don't want to be bogged down with issues and responsibilities in the church. Well, somebody's got to do it. And why not you? Did not the Lord die for you? Did he not die on the cross for you? There should be no job, nothing in the church that we shouldn't. Well, I'm uncomfortable doing it. Well, he was uncomfortable on the cross. Well, Pastor, that's why people don't want to talk to preachers, because they know the preacher's going to tell them that, right? Come on now. Y'all are mighty quiet this morning. You remember Uncle Sam used to point the finger and say, I need you. All righty. The Lord needs you. And then when you do get a ministry, or you do get a job to do, or God begins to work, then things go wrong. I can tell you, and these young preachers, boy, man, they get their first church. Oh, praise God, I'm anointed, I'm called, and they go to that first church, and everything goes haywire. And then they're like, I'm just going to quit. Don't resign, glory to God. Don't give up. Winners never quit and quitters never win. Listen, there is life after the trouble. Nothing is easy. Even Mary, who said, was blessed and we say that word blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. You know who said that? Mary said that. Do you know what that blessed and highly favored got her? It got her a lot of trials, and a sword will pierce through your own soul, the angel prophesied. And friends, this is not easy. It's not easy bearing the cross. This is not easy Christianity. Friend, this is going all the way. This is going through the flood. But I'm here to tell you, for Mary, praise God, she saw her son, and she is forever and ever thanking God that she is blessed and she is highly favored, because there was life after her floods. I mean, she was pregnant with the Messiah. That's a great thing. Man, I'm going to have the Messiah. Oh, my son is going to rule and reign. And she didn't realize that 9 months pregnant, she was going to be in a faraway town and nowhere. She didn't even have a place to have the baby. And she didn't even have a midwife. Her mama wasn't there. Only Joseph was there. And friend, I'm just telling you, don't break down before a breakthrough. It's not, there's pain in the offering. I sung that song. We sung that song, Blessed Be Your Name. Though there's pain in the offering, don't resign. Keep on preaching. Keep on singing. Keep on serving. Keep on showing up. If you don't feel like it, make yourself feel like it. I will move on for God, because there's life after the flood. It says that in Exodus chapter 15, verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Bitter waters. You ever had them? I do not like going to a restaurant. I went to one not long ago, and they brought me out a Diet Coke. And boy, I was thirsty. I worked a long, hard shift at Best Buy, and I put the straw in my mouth, and it was flat, just as flat as it could be. I'm like, we don't like bitter waters, do we? And spiritually, there's times we have some bitter waters. Even Jesus had to drink gall with vinegar when he said, "I thirst." The people like, "What are we going to drink, Moses?" That's a valid question, by the way. But you got to understand, these are the people that just came through the Red Sea. These are the people that saw the water leap back. And instead of saying, "What shall we drink?" they should have been saying, "Moses, we're thirsty. What's God getting ready to do? He's getting ready to do something, because he ain't going to let us die of thirst. He's going to take care of us." Their faith should have risen and said, "Oh, these waters are bitter, then he must have a plan." And the Bible says in Exodus 15 and verse 27 that they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. My goodness, it's like 1 minute there in the desert, but just a few more yards, just a little bit further. Somebody say, just a little bit further. Keep on. Don't resign at the bitter waters, because just a little bit further, there was more water than they could drink, because God is a way maker and a miracle worker and a chain breaker. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been in some bitter waters, there is life after the flood. And some of you are bitter this morning. You're bitter because you've drunk that bitter water and you think that's it. But don't be bitter of what people have done and what situations have done. Listen, there is life after your flood. Don't quit. Keep serving him. Keep praising him. Keep glorifying his name. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 3, it says, through faith we understand. Somebody say, through faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 11, it says, through faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of her child when she was past the age. When all hope seemed gone, impossible, can't happen. Sarah, you're past the age of having a child. In fact, the Lord came by one night, literally, he came by, and Sarah was in, I guess she was in there making the food for the visitors. She didn't know it was the Lord. And Abraham and the three visitors were talking, and the Lord said to Abraham, he said, "Abraham, about a year from now, your wife, who's past age, is going to have that baby." And I don't know how Sarah happened to hear that. Ladies, do you know, have any idea how she happened to hear that? I mean, she must have been listening for some reason. She wasn't in the conversation, but she began to laugh. But let me tell you something. God has the last laugh. Amen. What he said, he will do. He is a promise-keeping God. Don't quit. Don't resign. Somebody say, through faith. Through faith. Look at Hebrews 11:28. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Go to Hebrews 11:29. By faith, they passed what? Through the Red Sea. Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Hebrews 11:39. And all these having obtained a good report, what? Through faith. Listen, notice the word through faith. You've got faith is not a one-time act. It's not a one. It is in a sense that it happens. I've got faith, but that faith isn't just something you feel at this altar. That faith is something that will get you through. That will get you through the bad stuff. Get you through the bitter waters. Get you through the floods of life. Don't quit. Make it through. Praise it through. Work it through. I said work it through. Praise God. Don't give up in frustration. There's a promotion in your pain. There is life after the flood. Don't give in to regrets and do not break down and resign. There's life after your flood. Can you give him a hand of praise here this morning? And then point number three is choose not to be rash based on temporary circumstances. So don't regret, say regret. Don't resign, say resign. And don't be rash, say the word rash. Be quick. Quit. Don't be rash based on temporary circumstances. How many times when let me tell you about the flood of 1999. I was living here in Wilson. I was pastoring this church when it was Living Waters. And down here on Flowers Drive was the parsonage. In 1999, Hurricane Floyd came up. Actually, 96 Fran came up. I was pastoring here still. 96, the first hurricane came up. Then 99. And I'll tell you, 99 was unbelievable. The Hurricane Floyd. I remember that week because 3 days before the hurricane came, it rained and it was a deluge. It was a downpour. And what caused the great flooding was not so much the hurricane itself. It was the 3 days of soaking before the hurricane. And we went down, and fortunately, oh, glory to God, where Flowers Drive, where the parsonage was, we had power like the next day about 2 o'clock. And there were parts of Wilson County that didn't get power for weeks upon weeks, and schools were shut down for almost 2 months. But I remember driving down Forest Hills Drive, and Bill's Barbecue sign was, all you could see was the top of Bill's Barbecue. How many of you remember that? Turn around and tell somebody there's life after that flood. Oh, glory. Are you happy about that? Let me tell you, Bill's Barbecue is still there. It might be closed, but it's still there. Amen. Listen, that flood, it comes. But praise God, it's not going to stay. The flood waters rose in 99. But you can drive on down there this morning. It's still a standing because there's life after the flood. Don't be rash. Don't give up quick because these are temporary. Somebody say temporary. Amen. That problem on your job is a temporary problem. That problem in your marriage is a temporary problem. You can choose to carry it on men if you want to, but it ain't going to be fun, I promise you. Somewhere in there, you got to say, I'm sorry. Amen? Come on. Temporary. Esau. It says, Hebrews 12:16, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for what? One morsel of meat sold his birthright. And that deals with temptation. It notice the word fornication there, and we just have to address the subject like it is. One of the things about fornication or sexual fulfillment is a temptation, and you get caught in the moment, and then it's done, and it's forever done. And so the scripture tells us that's a temporary thing, but it's better to hold, if you're not married, to wait until you're married. And I should get a big amen out there. You'd be surprised that people think it's all right to sleep together and not be married. Listen to me. It is not all right to sleep together unless you are married. And I'm not talking about, well, we're living together and we're going to get married. No, you're living in open sin and you're in danger of miss. And I know, boy, there's a pastor friend of mine in a big city and he had a large family in there and they were tithing and giving. And one of their families was living together, but they were worshiping God, lifting their hands. And the pastor said, you can't do that. And I'll tell you, that family called him to the office and said, we're going to leave because you offended us. We need to offend some people. I'm telling you, the problem is we got too much soft preaching these days, and people are sliding right on to hell. Now, here's what I say. If you're living together, it's not right. Meet me and my wife and I have the authority as an ordained minister of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. I'll meet you in your living room if y'all living together, and I'll say, do you take this man? We'll get a few witnesses together. We'll sign a document, and then you can live together. Hey, come on. I will help you in that because God's got a plan. We don't make temporary decisions because it feels good. Amen. Esau was hungry, but he had a birthright. Do you know what that birthright was? Esau could have been the head of Israel. Out of Esau's family could have come the Messiah. He gave up so much for so little. He was hungry. I know some of you are hungry right now, aren't you? But he was hungry. And he made a permanent decision. Based on a temper. And by the way, let me throw this in here. We've all sinned. I've sinned. And if you've sinned and you gave in to something temporary, God will forgive you. Aren't you glad God will forgive you when you mess up? Aren't you? Don't look back. Today is a new day. Start where you are right now. It's a clean slate. I'm telling you, it's a clean slate. God is in your tomorrows. What you're facing is temporary. Your marriage problem is temporary. Your financial problem is temporary. And so many times people give in and they're like, I will never work our way out of this. But I promise you, I'm a living testimony. Being the pastor, sometimes we've been blessed financially and then you turn around and then you don't have but one income. And that's even part-time. I know what it's like, but I can promise you through the ins and outs and through the years, God has seen me through every financial distress. And he's still got, it's temporary. I'm not going to give up tithing. I'm not going to give up serving God. I'm going to trust him whether my bank account is full or whether I've got just enough money to get me to tomorrow. God is going to see me through. This is a temporary thing. I am blessed and highly favored of God. There is life after the flood. Well, you don't know what happened to me. It might have been the worst thing. Maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. As I close, I want to talk to you about, I've said this before, somebody needs to hear it this morning. There once was a village that had among its people a very wise old man. The villagers trusted this man to provide them the answers to their questions. One day, a farmer from the village went to the wise man and said in a frantic tone, "Wise man, help me. A horrible thing has happened. My ox died and I have no animal to help me to plow my field." Isn't that, Mr. Wise Man, isn't that the worst thing that could have possibly happened? The wise man responded, "Maybe so, maybe not." The man hurried back to the village and reported to his neighbors that the wise man had gone mad. Surely this was the worst thing that could happen. Why couldn't he see this? The next day, however, a strong young horse was seen near the man's farm. Because the man had no ox to rely on, he had the idea, why don't I catch that horse and replace my ox? And he did. And how joyful the farmer was. Plowing the field had never been easier. He went back to the wise man to apologize. He said, "You're right, wise man. Losing my ox wasn't the worst thing that could have happened. It was a blessing in disguise. I never would have captured my new horse had that not happened. You must agree that this is the best thing that could have happened." The wise man responded, "Maybe so, maybe not." And sure enough, the farmer thought, surely he's gone mad. The farmer didn't know what was about to happen, though, because a few days later, the farmer's son was riding that horse and threw him off and broke his leg. And now his son would not be strong enough to help in the crop. And oh no, thought the man, now we will certainly starve to death. And once again, the farmer went back to the old wise man. He said, how did you know that capturing my horse was not a good thing? You were right again. My son is injured and won't be able to help with the crop. This time, this is the worst thing that could possibly have happened. You've got to agree that this is the worst thing that could happen. Me losing my son's ability, breaking the leg. But the wise man just simply responded, maybe so, maybe not. The next day, troops arrived to take every able-bodied man to the war that had just broken out. The farmer's son was the only young man in the village who didn't have to go. Why? Because his leg was broke. And everyone that went away died. We don't know when the things that happen to us might be the best thing to happen to us. Oh, I feel good. This is great. Maybe not, if the Lord's not in it. Or it could be the worst thing that's ever happened. Maybe not, because the Lord might be in it. Can you honestly serve a God that says, I open doors, but I also close doors? Some of the best things that ever happened in my life, looking back, is when God sent me on a direction I didn't plan, because He's God. And some of the worst times of my life is when I went on directions that I thought in my wisdom would be the right way to go. I'll tell you, God will lead you and He will guide you. I said, God will lead you and guide you, but you need to let Him lead you and guide you. You need to let Him lead you by, if He says, thou shalt not, if He says, thou shalt not, it's for your good. Can you say amen? Amen. You say it was the worst thing that happened, but maybe so, maybe not. You say what happened on the job was the best thing that happened. Well, it might be, but is it going to keep you out of church? Is it going to keep you from serving God? Sometimes we got to think in terms of God sees beyond what we see. You know, if there's a promotion on your job and you apply for it, oh, praise God, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're blessed of the Lord. And you don't get it. It might be that not getting that promotion was a promotion in itself to something greater. How many of you know God knows what He's doing? Maybe so, maybe not. Trust Him. Don't resign. Don't regret. And don't be rash. Don't make quick decisions. He loves you. He trusts you. He's got a plan for your life. I want you to lift your hands and surrender worship to God right now. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know what floods you've gone through. The disappointment, the doubt, the lack. God is saying there is life after your... Noah lived after the flood. 300 years. Somebody say amen this morning. There is, give Him a hand of praise. There is life after the flood. Sister Darnell, if you could put up those pictures I had sent to you. I'm going to close with talking about Kim Fuke. Our pastor served in Vietnam, and this is from the Vietnam era. Just give me a thumbs up if you're able to get them or not. But there was a city that the Americans bombed. And Life magazine took a picture of the people fleeing from that city. And in that picture was several children. And one of the children was a little Vietnam girl. Her hands were like this, crying under pain. She had napalm on her back. And she was nude. She didn't have any clothes on. And she was just a little 8-year-old girl. And, of course, it was a wide shot. And there was other people in there. And her crying and that pain... That picture became such a famous picture for the pains of war. Have any of you seen that picture of which I'm referring to? Raise your hand if you have. Two or three of you have. And I did send it to Sister Darnell, so I don't know if we'll be able to get it up there. But just if you go to Google, you can Google the Vietnam girl napalm. Make sure you put the word napalm up there, because you might get some other things you don't want to get. But be sure to Google that and you'll see the picture. Life magazine. It ran in Life magazine. Well, I didn't know this until some time ago. But that little girl turned out she moved to America. She was adopted by a family in California. They took her to church. She gave her life to the Lord. And years later... And I've got another picture of her, and it's her as a grown woman. beautiful grown woman smiling. And one, and let me just read what happened in several years ago. One of the most famous images from the Vietnam War was the photograph of 9-year-old girl named Kim Phuc. During a battle between the North and South Vietnamese troops, American pilots dropped napalm on her tiny village. Two of her brothers were killed. And she was burned very badly on her back. Wearing no clothes, she fled up the road towards a cameraman. And because of the pain, her arms are held out and her mouth is open in agony. The little girl suffered third-degree burns over 50% of her body. But incredibly, she lived. She endured 14 months of painful rehabilitation, scores of skin grafts. And each time the pain was so intense, sometimes she lost consciousness when the doctors touched her to help her. However, since then, she has married, immigrated, and become a Christian, and she now lives in Canada. She still deals with the pain and the scars on her chest and back. But in 1996, she accepted an invitation from several Vietnam vets, composed of men who fought and sacrificed for the cause of democracy. They had Veterans Day ceremonies in Washington, D.C., and she laid a wreath at the tomb of the veterans, or not at the tomb, but at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. She laid a wreath there. I've been to that Veterans Vietnam Memorial. Has anybody been to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C.? Raise your hand. With all the names up there. She said, she spoke of forgiveness. She said, I have suffered a lot of physical and emotional pain. Sometimes I could not breathe. But God saved my life and gave me faith and hope. Here's what she said, and I'm closing. Even if I could talk face to face with the pilot that dropped the bombs, I would tell him, we cannot change history, but we should try to do good things for the present and the future to promote peace. I'll tell you, stand with me, for Kim Phuc, you know what she was really saying? She was really saying, there's life after the flood. Have you been hurt? Have some bombs dropped on you? Do you have scars? Have you made some mistakes? Have you broken some of God's commandments? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, don't quit. Don't give up. Renew your life. Renew your commitment to the Lord. Ask Him to come into your heart. Forgive you of your regret. Forgive you of your resignation spirit. Forgive you of all of the rash things that you have done, and say, Lord, I know that I've been in doubt, but I trust that you have got life ahead. Come on, lift your hand and say, Father, thank you for the life to come. Thank you for life to come. Thank you, there's life after the divorce. Thank you, there's life after the mistake. There's life after what somebody has done to you. There is life after all the ridicule. There's life after COVID-19. There's life after cancer. There's life after heart disease. There's life after the flood. Give him a mighty hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, that there's life. And Noah lived after the flood 300 years. And I'll tell you, we have what? Life and life more abundantly. Can you say amen? I want to close our service this morning with prayer. And Brother Blue is going to put in a CD so that we can listen to music as we're leaving. But I want you to be encouraged this morning. I want you to know that God is not finished with you. Tell your neighbor right now. Tell them there's life after your flood. Do that. Would you minister to your neighbor? You've got to make a decision. You got to make a decision right now. I don't want you to bow your heads right now. Make a decision that you're going to trust God with your future. And if you're not saved, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I've made rash decisions. I've yielded to temptation. I've done some things that are not right, but forgive me, God. I repent and I give my life to you. And some of you need to pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I've given up sometimes and I've kind of quit serving you and I've gone through a flood and I don't understand why. But thank you, Lord, that you've got life ahead after the flood. Now, just lift those hands once again before we leave and just worship Him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for life after those floods. Amen. If you'll pause that for one more second. And God bless you. We thank you so much for being here this morning. How many of you really believe you got life after the flood? Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss by Rose this morning. Our pastor will be back next Sunday. Don't forget our streaming service tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll be preaching on what gives you the right to pray. Don't miss it. Invite people to join us back Sunday night and also Wednesday night on streaming. And as you're leaving, we're going to play Chain Breaker. I believe it's track number one, Brother Blue. And God bless you. I'm going to meet you at the back because I want a fist bump and elbow bump. And I want to look at you in the face and tell you that I love you. We love you. And we'll see you next Sunday, Westmoreland Church. God bless you. Brother Blue, go ahead and play that as the people leave.